I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. So glad everyone's here. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, they told me that they were going to put a pie in my face at the end of the month. And so, is that true? Is that true? Okay. So, several? Okay. All right. Well, I need y'all's prayers. Praise God. And so whoever brings the most? Okay. Well, that'll be a fun day. So that'll be a great day. How many appreciates the volunteers that help out with VBS over here on Sundays at 4? I've really been praying about this. I didn't know if I should bring it up, you know, before we go into the Word. You know, I've kind of been struggling with whether to talk about it or whatever. And I want to, on our Sunday nights, on Sunday evenings, you know, we've been kind of struggling just a little bit, you know, with that, with the numbers and things. And I think I made a mistake. I made a mistake by making it at 4 o'clock. And so I've been praying about it and talked to a few people, and I feel like I should probably turn it back to 6 o'clock. However, I would really appreciate it, and I know that we all have legitimate reasons of why we can't make it back, you know, for Sunday evening service, and some of us may not have legitimate reasons. I don't know. I don't know your life, but I would really appreciate it if you could be a part of the Sunday night service. It would really mean a lot to me. I know it would mean a lot to the Lord, because when you're not here, you know, I really feel the brunt of it, and I'm sure others feel the brunt of it too when you're not here. And so I'm just asking you for the Lord to make you hungry, okay? Lord, to make you hungry for the Word, to make you hungry for what God has given you. And I know some of us, personally, I like the 4 o'clock. I like the 4 o'clock better, but I think the 6 o'clock may be better for us, so that way you can get your, Sunday nap in or whatever, okay? Praise the Lord. How many still love me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I love you too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Oh, yes. Thank you so much. I need to tell you when I'm going to do that. I'm getting distracted because I'm wanting to go into the Word. I am going to do that after VBS. It'll be the first Sunday of August is when we'll do that, because we already advertised it to be 4 o'clock throughout the month of July. So, all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, thank you for reminding me about that. Hallelujah. All right, everybody say correction. Amen. Correction is something that we have a hard time with sometimes. Nobody likes to be corrected. Most, I guess, don't like to be corrected. But little do people know that correction is a part of our spiritual growth in the Lord. We need correction. You know, the Bible says if we don't love correction, we don't love life. And the Bible says that if we don't take correction from the Lord, from Him who is our final authority, then we actually love death, which is eternal separation from the Lord. So we need to love discipline. We need to love correction. But I want to read just three verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. And this is what it says. And that from childhood, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, everybody say all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the breath of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul is telling us that correction is for equipping us to do the work of the ministry. And so, do you have that video available for us this morning, Dennis? Correction is something that we need in our lives, that we need growth in our lives. And I have seen it, you know, and he'll turn the sound on here in just a second. You might have already seen this video, but I think this video goes really good with what the message is going to be today. But correction is something that we all need. And so if somebody could get the lights for me, please. And Dennis, you can go ahead and play that. And I want y'all to enjoy this clip. This is Andy Griffith Show.
Gosh, you must have been saving up for it since you was a kid. My dad bought it for me.
Come on, Taylor. Hop on the rack and I'll give you a ride.
I can't. I gotta get this garage cleaned up.
What happens if you don't?
I don't get my quarter this week.
Kids aren't supposed to work for their allowance.
My pa is awful busy. Maybe he hasn't heard this new stuff.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll ask him.
Take it from me. Talking is a waste of time. You have to take action.
Kicking a table leg, rolling around on the floor, kicking your feet, pretending you can't stop crying.
Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, for crying out loud, Taylor!
Hey, Arnold. Take it easy, Arnold. I didn't mean to say nothing wrong.
Get the idea?
Ride a bike on the sidewalk?
Oh. Oh, watch it.
Doggone it, I warned him and he deliberately rode on the sidewalk again.
Is that true, son? Did you hear Officer 5 warn you?
Yes, sir.
Young man, I'm gonna have to take this bike and hold it.
You can't take my bike. It's my bike.
Now, you listen here, young fella. When an officer gives you a warning, you're supposed to mind.
Yeah, now get on off of there. Now go on home.
You'll see. I'm going to tell my dad.
Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, son.
Paul, can I talk to you about something I don't understand?
Sure, come on in.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
I just don't understand it, Paul.
What?
None of the other guys work for their allowance. I just don't want to work for my allowance.
No work, no allowance.
That's not fair!
Don't raise your voice to me. Now, you get on out of here. I got things to do. What are you doing?
I was holding my breath.
Good lung exercise. But don't get your clothes all dirty.
Sheriff?
Yes, sir, you the boy's father?
That's right, Simon Winkler.
Andy Taylor.
Now then, what's this all about?
249A, section Roman numeral 5.
All right, so he rode his bike on the sidewalk.
Arnold was given a warning and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk.
The offense was clearly defined under normal weather conditions.
Everybody's against me!
There, son.
Can't even have a little fun!
Was it such a crime?
Now, if we don't teach children to live in society today, what's going to happen to them when they grow up?
So, did y'all get the lesson on that video there? It's very important for us to understand the role of correction in our lives, and I think we don't really take it seriously. And discipline is something that comes from the Lord. It's actually commanded in the Word of God. And we need to really understand that. And there's a difference between discipline and punishment. A lot of people don't really understand that. Correction is an issue of equipping, not punishment. Guilt and fear is associated with punishment. Putting guilt and fear in people's lives. But correction, discipline, is associated with security. Training them to make better decisions in the future. Can I get an amen? It's all about training them. It's not just inflicting a penalty for doing something. You actually bring a discipline to them, and then that'll help them make better decisions for the future. And that's what discipline is, and that's what God does. The Bible actually says that who God loves, He corrects. And isn't it interesting that God links love with correction? And if we don't have a proper view of the Word of God, we will mistaken correction to be hate, or mistaken correction to be you don't care for me or you don't like me. But when you are corrected by the Lord, or when correction comes your way, the Bible says you need to embrace it. Correction is good for us. And this is something that we really need to understand. If we hate correction, then we don't love the truth. Listen, if we can't stand correction, then we can't stand Jesus. Look at the disciple Peter. Peter was always getting in trouble, wasn't he? You know, saying, you're not going to do that. You're not going to go to the cross, Jesus. And Jesus actually called Peter Satan. You know, it was that bad. And tells Peter, look, you're wrong. Had to correct Peter. But correction, this is good. But the correction was never without redemption. That's the difference between godly correction and ungodly punishment. Punishment says there's no chance for you, and I'm going to inflict a penalty on you, and I'm not going to help you, and I'm not going to empower you to make better decisions for the future. I'm just going to scream at you and yell at you and let you know how bad you are, and I'm going to put guilt and fear in you. But the Bible says that godly correction not only tells you where you're missing it, but it also empowers you. Y'all get that? It empowers you to live a life that is pleasing to Him in excellence. Why did Jesus correct Peter? Well, it's simple, because Jesus loved Peter. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. The problem I see is this: correction is fine with people only if they are the ones doing the correcting. How many's ever seen that? Right? See, I've discovered that it's how you correct is equally important as to what you're correcting. And it's never wise, and I found this out, I've discovered this, it's never wise to correct people if you're demeaning them as a person. So as your pastor, I understand that at times I have to give correction. But I want you to know this, from the position where I'm at, from the base point of where I'm coming at, it's not that I'm disapproving of you as a person. It's not that I'm demeaning you at all. Actually, I want to empower you. I want to equip you. But if I see something that's not right, or if I see something that's wrong, I believe that you need accountability in your life. And for those who don't want accountability and doesn't want correction in their lives, man, they're really missing the boat. Because then they can do whatever, they can justify whatever it is they may be doing, and they can get used to that. They can get used to the wrongdoing. And the Bible actually tells us that we need to be used to correction. Amen. And correction, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is for what? Doctrine, for teaching, and it's for reproof, right? And correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, may be properly equipped unto all good works. And so for us, we need to learn how to submit unto God. What is God telling us? Here's one quote that really stood out to me when I heard this. I heard this years ago. Relationship without rules leads to rebellion. Right? If you have a bunch of rules, right, and no relationship with a person, and you're always throwing rules at them, man, that's just going to lead them to rebellion, isn't it? Isn't that what we have, the church, have done a lot? We have thrown rules at people, but we never took the time to actually empower them, to actually keep at least some of the rules. Amen. See, I believe in the God who lives in you. And it's not if, it's when correction comes to you, I'm going to do it in the spirit of love, and I won't embarrass you, but I'll take you to the side and I'll talk with you. And I'll say, look, we need to talk about this. We can work this out. It doesn't mean that I'm trying to tear you down. It doesn't mean that I'm trying to push you down as a person, but I'm giving you some godly correction, because if you'll take it, if you'll receive it, man, your life will keep climbing in the Lord. Keep climbing in the Lord, because you're embracing it. Because if you don't embrace correction, that means you don't love knowledge. And if you don't love knowledge, when you do speak, you'll just be saying a lot of stuff, but you won't be saying anything. Amen. And if you take correction in, that's when you increase in knowledge. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. Correction is in love is ideal. So let's go to children. Can we talk about children for a little while? Can we do that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's talk about this. What happens if a child grows up without correction? Well, they become spoiled, and they think the world owes them everything, don't they?
Amen.
They live with an entitlement mentality. But the Bible teaches that correction is the way of life, and the Bible's teaching. This ain't coming from me, okay? I'm just giving you what the Bible's saying, because one day I'll have children, and I'll know what it's like, right? So I'm giving you the revelation of what God is saying. If parents don't correct their kids, they are leading them to the way of death. Did you hear me? That's what the Bible teaches. If children are going to be responsible individuals, then parents must be firm in discipline. Must be firm in discipline. If children are going to listen, we need to tell them, hey, this is the way it is. Amen. See, your child doesn't need to be at your son, your daughter doesn't need to be at another girl's house late at night, doesn't need to be in their bedroom.
Come on, come on.
Listen, the Bible says if you leave your child to themselves, you don't love them. I'm going to read that later. It's in here. It's in the Bible. Don't leave them to themselves. You let them go, say, oh, they're out somewhere, whatever, doing whatever. Listen, you need to take responsibility. You're a parent before you're a friend.
Yes, yes.
You with me? You're a parent before you're a friend. And if they pitch a fit, say, you don't like me, you don't like me. No, if you really knew, I'm really liking you right now. Because I'm keeping you out of a lot of trouble. And I understand that we do need to experience consequences. We do need to experience consequences. We learn through consequences. We learn through those things. But we have got to understand that correction as parents, as a pastor, right? Correction is a way of life. But the way we correct is so important. When we correct, we don't do it from the form of punishment. We do it from godly discipline. And that godly discipline will help you grow in your life. All right, do y'all agree with me so far?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Discipline is from God. And so we've got to understand that your role is to be a corrector, not a pacifier. Amen.
Amen.
If they control you and they get what they want all the time, I wonder what they're going to end up like when they get older. Are y'all with me? See, listen, you've got to take control. You're a parent first and you're a friend second. If you give them what they want so they'll just be quiet, then they are the parent and you're the child. You with me? You've got to be firm. You got to stand strong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And this is why we have 10-year-old parents and 30-year-old kids. So, what happens if the pastor doesn't bring correction to the church? What happens? The church loses its mission. Are you with me? If correction is not given to the church, we will lose our mission. We'll lose our vision. If I correct you, you'll either accept it, cause division in the church, or you'll leave. I hope you accept it. Because I want you to understand, when I bring correction to you, I don't want you to go pitch a fit. Pastor don't understand me. I can't believe he'd say something like that. Listen. We got to work together. And if we work together through this correction, through reproof, through the scriptures, through biblical correction, it is then we'll see the power of God move. See, here's the thing I see. We holler revival, right? I want revival. How many wants revival?
Amen.
But if we're not willing to be corrected, we won't see revival.
Amen. Right.
And you say, well, I've never heard this kind of message before. Well, it's in here, guys. It's in here. And it's up to me as a pastor to tell you that correction is a part of your spiritual journey with the Lord. It's part of my spiritual journey with the Lord. We keep each other accountable. You mess up. You make a mistake. Well, I am not going to blast it all over Facebook.
Amen.
That's punishment. That's not discipline. You with me? I'm not going to go around to everybody and cause division and say, look what so-and-so did. You know what we're going to do about it? We're going to come together, and we're going to keep you and me from making that same mistake again. You know why the cycle keeps going and going? Is because we don't know the difference between punishment and discipline. And when someone sins, and when someone messes up, makes a mistake, we'll broadcast it. Be mad. Be angry. But the Bible says, seek reconciliation at all cost. Amen. The Bible says, seek forgiveness. We need to be forgivers. See, correction exposes what's in the heart. Correction brings to the surface of who you really are. And if you really want to find out who someone is, bring some correction. And that'll bring up whatever that is in the heart to the surface. Because sometimes they will have emotional immaturity. And when you bring correction to someone, man, it'll come up to the surface. And you'll be like, wow, I didn't know that person would act that way. But it happens, guys. It happens. And so the reason that I'm giving you this message of correction, about correction this morning, is to let you know that when I do give you correction, that I'm not doing it to demean you or to tear you down, that I've got the whole picture in mind and that we're in this thing together. You with me?
Amen.
The mission. Everybody say mission. Mission. It's what we preached on last week. This has been a while back. I'll give you an example of where I had to correct someone. I had a man that went here, and he actually had some cards made telling everybody he was the pastor. Telling everybody he was the pastor here. And he was going out and he was passing out all these cards. Yeah, I'm the pastor. And I didn't know about it. And he was doing it for weeks and weeks. And, you know, I don't mind working with people, but I really have a problem when they try to do stuff like that. Try to overrun you and override you and not give you a voice. Are y'all with me? So I had to bring correction. He said, I can do this. No, you can't. You can't do that. And you could see the tension. The tension was building up because he's like, no, I can do this because I don't answer to you. Okay, do you see that? Has a rebellion problem. You with me? A problem with rebellion. Don't want to listen. And making a long story short, didn't work out. Didn't work out there. However, my prayers are still with him, and the Lord is working in his life. And I just wanted to share that with you to give you an example of some of the stuff that I have to go through when I give correction. But I never do it in order to tear people down. I do it in order to lift you up so that way we can be an example to people who don't go to church here and who do go to church here. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
It's important for us to understand the value of correction. And have you ever heard this quote? I don't care what the pastor says, I've got to obey the Lord. Do you think the pastor is going to keep you from obeying the Lord? No, he's not. I'm not. I won't. You know, you ever hear that quote before? I don't care what he says. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. See, listen, you've got to. They say, I don't need the pastor's permission. Do you read the Bible? Is what my question would be. Do you read the Bible? Listen, the Lord hasn't called us to a dictatorship, but he has called us to work together. And there is something that the Bible teaches in Ephesians 5. He's talking about marriage, but he's also talking about submission. Mutual submission. You with me? We serve each other. And I want you to know that when I do give correction, that I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't demean you as a person. But I want to show you who you are in Christ Jesus. But if I don't tell you, and I know it's there, and I let it go by because I don't want conflict. Then I'm not doing what God's called me to do. You with me? How many has avoided correcting someone to avoid conflict?
Amen.
I have. Because, man, you're looking at a guy who can't stand conflict. I don't even like conflict, but I understand there has to be some tension there. You with me? There has to be something there. And it's godly when you do it. Correction. It's very important. Very important. I know we don't hear that preached a lot, but it's being preached today. And I want us to really understand this value of correction. If you come up here and you try to correct the church as a whole, will you please run it by me first? So that way I'll know what you're going to say, what you're going to do before you blab it out, because it may not be from God. I want you to be able to talk to me first. Don't just come right out and just holler out, "Hey, I got something I got to say." Well, no, let me hear it first. I want to hear it. You with me? Because sometimes we can get out of hand with that, get carried away with that, and we miss what God's saying. We miss what God's saying. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Correction. Everybody say correction. Correct. Listen, and if you can't stand to be corrected by me, and I know I'm a young whippersnapper. I know I am. I'm 30 years old. If you don't like it, like if I come to you and I say, we need to talk about this. Let's fix this. This is wrong. Let's fix this. Listen, if you can't stand for me to do that, then you have no business correcting somebody else in the church.
Amen.
You with me? Amen. You have no business doing that. We're in this together, right? We're a team. We work in this together. That's what God has called us to do. Everybody say, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
If we talk about it and we communicate, then things will get done. We'll be on the same page. How many's ever been on a different page with someone? Me and Danielle has been on a different page before on things. I thought you told me you was going to meet me at work. Well, I told you I was going to meet you at Takoyaki. Right? We haven't been on the same page. And that's why it's important. And listen, if you're assuming something and it's not a fact, I want y'all to hear me. If you're assuming something and it's not a fact, don't go around talking to people like it is a fact. And if you have a feeling there, if you say, I got to talk to Pastor about this, I got to talk to Pastor about this, listen, talk to me about it. But don't let that build up in you. Build up, and you explode. And you do something you regret. You with me? Communication is so important. Do you know that most of the problems that exist is a result of miscommunication? That's all it is. People not communicating effectively, and I have seen people miss it because they just assume things and they don't have the facts together. Are you with me?
Amen.
You got to have the truth. You got to have the facts together, the truth. All right, children. I know there's not a lot of children. We have teenagers over here. Obey your parents. Amen.
Amen.
Obey your parents. See, when your parents, and the parents are going to love me for this, y'all probably buy me a steak after church or something. But when parents correct, when they bring correction, listen, I didn't know he's going to do that. When they bring you correction, children, obey your parents. When they bring you correction, it's for your good, guys. All right? I know there's not a lot of teenagers in here, but listen, if they are willing to invest in you and to protect you, help you in every way they can, giving you a roof over your head, giving you clothes and stuff, bringing you to church, oh my goodness, wow. Man, that is a blessing. And to do that, man, you kids, you're blessed. You're blessed to have godly parents. And if they bring you correction and you don't like it, and there's something in you, I wish they'd leave me alone, they're always on me. Listen, embrace the correction and say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, I respect you because God tells me to. And you respect them and you love them. And I'm telling you, what I'm telling you right now, it'll be the best decision you'll ever make in your life doing that. It will. The Bible says, with a long life, I'll satisfy you. And the Bible actually promises that when you're obedient to parents, you lengthen your life. Is that not right? Some of you Bible scholars in here, y'all help me out in here. Right? It lengthens. And obedience is so important. But understand that the obedience includes the relationship with that. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, parents, don't think it's wrong to drag your kids to church. You make them brush their teeth. You make them go to school. You make them play ball. it's okay to make them go to church.
Amen.
You with me? Right? We have no problem making them do other stuff. But the church, man, well, I'll let them make their own decision. No, no, no. You bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Because when I was a kid, I was drugged to church. I went to church every Sunday, right? And when I was a kid, I didn't even get a timeout. Y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm not saying timeouts are, won't work, it, whatever works for you. But man, when I was a kid, I didn't get timeouts, man. And I didn't get to one, two, three. When it got to two, it was over. I was in trouble, you know? And I was on the front bench, and my mom watched me like a hawk. I couldn't get away with anything. I'd be talking, and one day she grabbed me by the ear and grabbed me, and that whatever, you know, worked. I wouldn't advise some of that stuff, but man, she grabbed me by the ear that day, and man, it was so embarrassing. Let me tell you something. Everybody's looking. Man, he's going to get it. He's going to get it. But what happened was I was talking too much during the preaching, making too much noise. And man, mom didn't let me get by with that. She didn't let me get by with that. And so what I would ask you to do, like if you see, and if there's kids not minding, kids not obeying, listen, I'm not against you using the rod of correction like the Bible says.
Amen.
You with me? You know, take the child in the back, whatever you have to do, and discipline the child. You with me?
Amen.
In a godly way. All right, church. That's what God has called us to do. Godly. Everybody say godly discipline.
Godly discipline.
There's a difference between godly discipline and abuse. You with me? Correction. We need to listen to Father God. Correction must be embraced. If we refuse correction, we reject God's word. I want to read a few scriptures with you. Can I do that this morning?
Amen.
Are you awake?
Yeah.
All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. This is what it says. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. Chapter 10, verse 17. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life. I think I'll just read it up here. Next verse. Is it? But he who refuses correction goes astray. And whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Go to chapter 12, verse 1. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now that's the word of God. Love correction. It's good for you guys. Teenagers, it's good for you. He's like, man, he preached that this morning. But I'm telling you, correction, it'll help you. And there'll be a lot less tension in the household. If you just obey, listen, they won't be no. Listen, controlled spanking is better than excessive yelling and screaming.
Amen.
You with me? Because it, that will do more damage than the spanking will. You with me? That would do more damage, just yelling and screaming at them. Verbal abuse is worse. And the Bible says, use the rod of correction. All right, chapter 13, verse 18. Listen to this. This is amazing. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Solomon is linking poverty with people who don't like correction. Do you see the link? And I think, according to this verse, according to the Word of God, is that if we don't embrace correction, if we're not willing to submit to God or even spiritual authority, the Bible says that poverty will come to us and shame will come to us. Because people who don't embrace correction have a hard time in their relationships with people, don't they? Have a hard time with it. But the Bible says embrace correction. Chapter 15, verse 32. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Chapter 22, verse 15, and this will be the one more, and it'll be the last one I'll read. Chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The word of God, guys. The word of God. We'll go to one more. Chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So in other words, don't leave your child alone. You invest in them spiritually. The rod and rebuke, correction, gives wisdom. Don't be afraid to correct your children. You hear me? Don't be afraid to do that. Correction sometimes is hard. It's hard on those that are on the other side of the fence that is being corrected, because we have something called an ego, right? We're egotistical people. And you say, wait a minute, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Well, we all deal with ego to an extent, don't we? We do. Even saved people, even Christians deal with that. It might hurt the ego. It might hurt the pride. But it'll be the best, one of the best things that'll ever happen to you. If you'll learn how to take correction, you will be blessed. Blessed beyond measure. Amen.
Amen.
So here, apparently, from the verses I read here, God is a proponent of correction, isn't he? I mean, we read the word. God is a proponent of correction. And he's also a proponent of how we do it. That he says, don't give punishment, but give godly discipline. That's the difference. God's children need direction. They need correction in their spiritual journey. So I have to ask myself, if I receive biblical correction, will I act like an immature person who is self-absorbed and doesn't care about anybody else, but only about me? If you're willing to receive correction, revival, awakening will be in your life. Because it is then your life is not run by pride, it's run by humility.
Amen.
And you're humble and you're willing to work with other people. Amen, church?
Amen.
We've got to be willing. And it's not hard for us to try to correct people sometimes, is it? I mean, look at Facebook, right? We get on there. Man, I'm ready to correct somebody right now. Let me comment on something. You know, this is wrong, this is wrong. People love doing it. But on the other side of the spectrum, it's kind of hard, isn't it? It's kind of difficult because we have an ego. We have an ego that we deal with, a pride. And it is my prayer that you will pray for me, that I won't let ego rise up in me, that I won't let pride rise up in me. And I'm praying for you that that won't happen either. That we'll be so humble that we'll be willing to talk to each other. And if we see each other in public, we won't do this. Amen, church.
Amen.
That we won't look up. We'll say, wait a minute, we can actually talk to each other and not act like children who will, right? I ain't talking to you. I'm not talking to you. You did that to me 10 years ago. Right? Lord, help us to be humble. Humble before him, bowing at the feet of Jesus. Correction. If we're not willing to submit to correction, then we must be submitting to the devil. We are submitting to the enemy. If your love, everybody say love. I want y'all to stay. I know some of us are, how long have I been preaching? Or does it even matter? Okay, it doesn't matter. If your love enables them to stay in the same condition, then it's not love. You with me? Love empowers, and empowerment is never without correction. And if people are willing to take the correction through love, they'll be empowered to live a life that's pleasing to God. Embrace correction, guys. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor, you better embrace it too. You're telling us you better embrace it too. Yes, amen. All of us need to embrace it. Correction is hard sometimes. It's hard for us to take, but it's good for us.
Amen.
It's kind of like Brussels sprouts, kind of like salad, isn't it? It's good for us. Don't taste good sometimes, right? But it's good for us. Amen? It helps us. It empowers us. Correction is God's way of saying, I love you. If you hate correction, then you must like serving the devil. And Jezebel, how many has ever heard of Jezebel in the Old Testament? A manipulator, right? She couldn't stand God's authority. And she tried to destroy God's authority. Tried to destroy the prophets of Baal. Tried to destroy those prophets. And Elijah says, I'm by myself. There's nobody else. And God says, I've reserved. How many was it, Elijah? I reserved 7,000 who has not bowed to Baal. And Jezebel, they were prophets running for their lives because Jezebel couldn't stand God's authority in the earth. Could not stand it. Would not submit to it. And wanted to destroy God's authority. Do you think that spirit's here today? Right? Doesn't want people... Who talks about submission in the church? Submission? I got to listen to you? Mutual submit? Who talks about that? Guys, that's a biblical concept. That's a biblical truth. Mutual submission. Where we're serving one another. Where we're not trying to lord over each other. But we're here. We're on the same equal ground at the cross. But when the time comes for correction, we must embrace it. Embrace it. Don't react. Respond. Don't react. Respond. So part of the Christian life is correction. And if you've never received correction as a Christian, then ask yourself this question. Am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? If I've never been corrected, if I've never even been corrected by the Lord, am I really a Christian? You know what's so great when the Lord corrects me? Right? Or even a fellow minister or someone in the church corrects me. I listen. I embrace it. I embrace it. Because that's what's so great about the gospel. Is that God loves me. He corrects me because He loves me. You know what was so great about Peter being corrected that many times in the Bible? He had a loud mouth, didn't he? Man, if somebody had something to say, it was Peter. And Peter would be corrected. You know what was so great about Peter being corrected? Is because the presence of Jesus was there. And if you're being corrected by the Lord, just be thankful that God saw fit to actually have His presence there with you in order to correct you. Don't get so caught up in, oh man, that was in my heart. I didn't know that was there. I didn't know, man, I can't stand to be corrected. Or you could focus on, Jesus actually saw fit to correct me. He loves me that much to actually let me know where I am missing it. Amen? It's amazing, isn't it? So I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll say it with me. Lord, whatever correction that I need, you can give it to me. Because you love me. And if I win, I give you correction. I'm going to ask you, don't get mad. I won't embarrass you. I want you to get glad. Okay? That sounded like a cliche, but you get it. I want you to remember it, right? I want you to remember it because we're in this thing together, okay? And it's my responsibility to let you know, hey, let me talk to you for a minute. Let's talk about this. And we don't have to broadcast it, do we? Amen? Praise the Lord. So, in essence, the whole message is this. If you're willing to receive correction, the anointing of God will rest upon you. The favor, everybody say the favor. The favor of God will rest upon you. And you'll see things happen in your life. You'd be like, wow, God's true. God corrected me, not because he hates me or wants to punish me. Did y'all catch that? Because we thank God, he's a punisher. He's out to get us. He's not out to get you. He's out to give to you. And when you understand that Father God is out to give to you in the spirit of love through correction, man, we should be the most thankful people in this world. Hallelujah. The Lord, you don't hear that much, do you? You don't hear that much. Brother Marcos, the Lord corrected me today. I was wrong. You don't hear that much, do you? But you do hear this. I was right. I'm right about this. I'm right about that. I'm right about this. I'm right about that. But you hardly ever hear people say, man, I made a mistake. I did. I made a mistake. I'm wrong. Here's the thing. The person you're confessing to, this church that you confess to, you made a mistake, whatever it is, they've got to be willing to not judge you. And they've got to be willing to say, you know what, brother? Man, I made some bad mistakes too. I did some things too, you know? But I'm here, I'm in this with you together. And I'm not letting you fall. Right? Not letting you. You're not going to let me fall. Not letting you fall, right? Not letting you fall. We're in this thing together. Everybody say mission.
Mission.
Vision.
Vision.
And we're willing to submit to the authority of God. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know this wasn't a shouting message, but I really hope that this message really got into your heart. You with me? We need to embrace this and understand. I pray that God's anointing will rest upon you. Some of you today, you're going to leave here today, right? You're going to leave. Some of us may go out to eat. Some of us might have packed our lunch, ham sandwich, turkey sandwich, whatever. But when you leave today, I want your prayer to be this. Even on my job, Lord, this is hard. This is hard. Because I worked at Peyton's. Did I say that out loud? Did I say that out loud? Lord, help me to even be submissive even to the boss that I work for. May not like some of his ways. I may think he's unfair and he treats people unjustly and he's not fair. But the Bible says, be submissive. Brother Sam, how can you say that? I didn't say that. The Bible teaches that. Romans chapter 12, read it. Romans 12, I gave you the scripture. Submission. And when you obey God, and if people are mistreating God's people, the anointed, let me tell you something. God won't let that go on. Your job is to obey and submit. God's job is to bless and give you favor. And listen, you can be the most disliked person because you may stand for God, you may stand for truth, you may stand for Jesus. You may be the most disliked person at the factory, wherever you work. But if you obey God and you respect people, regardless of whether or not you think they treat people unjust or unfairly, you respect those people and you obey God, and you don't lie, you tell the truth. You are who you are in the lunchroom and in the plant. You with me? In the break room, even outside the break room, you're the same person. Working on a heating and air unit, even at church, right? You're the same person. Because you're submissive. You're respectful to people. And people will see the love of God in you. You with me? This is the Bible. Do you receive it? Do you receive it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're willing to correct us because you love us. Father, we thank you, God, that you took the punishment. Glory to God. You took our punishment, the punishment we should have deserved. Lord, you poured out your wrath upon your Son so that we didn't have to receive that, what we really deserved. And Father, we thank you, God, that you rescued us, you redeemed us, you reconciled us to God the Father. We thank you for redemption. Lord, we welcome correction. We welcome discipline in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. you don't have a relationship with the Lord, I'd like for you to come up to the altar. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you, whatever need you may have. I don't know, you may be going through some things, but God wants to bless you today. God wants to set you free. Maybe you want to ask the Lord. Maybe you want to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be submissive. Here's one. Help me to be submissive to my spouse. Right? Help me be submissive in my life, to be humble before God, to be serving each other in the spirit of truth. So we're going to sing this song here. We're going to pray. And I'm going to give you an invitation. The first invitation is, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd ask you to come up. That can change today. Today, that can change. Second invitation is, if you have a problem with maybe with serving or even submission or being involved with the church, I'll pray with you. Right? Maybe it's something you don't want anybody to know. Well, I'll just turn his mic off and nobody will know. You with me? We're here together for each other. So let's worship the Lord right now as we sing it to the Lord, as we sing. Thank you, Lord.